American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! It's Sean Kennedy reporting you from the Internet for Monday, December 14th, 2009. And you are listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit-Rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to Sean, S-E-A-N, underscore Kennedy, .livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and every Thursday night, we're out here in Second Life Node Archers on grid coordinates 155746666. And to be fair, it is actually a very difficult thing to figure out how to even get into Second Life, so if you can show up here on Thursdays about 7 o'clock Second Life time, good for you and the kind of people who had no lives or are on the bleeding edge of technology were Spider Mike, Sophia, Sabriel, Plump Dragon, Nomad, Morps, Legion, Kimmy, Kaj, Hero, Heavy, Echelon, Draken, Dawn, Darklight, Anthony, and Anastasia. And, of course, we have my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian.
Good evening, Sean. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. But let's also not forget that we are simulcast on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz, which I'm not really sure what that means. What does that mean? You know, I threw that in there because we were told that. Does that mean that, like, if I picked up
a show, I don't know.
Can we find out what that means? Can somebody out there who knows what the hell I'm talking about give me an email, you know, and let me know what that actually
means? Can you actually? Is he just joshing us? Is he actually broadcasting us?
Because he sent that in to me, and I'm like, okay, sure, shit, you know. I trust people.
It will be there forever, because we can never verify it. Well, I guess I don't have a shortwave radio, do you?
Well, I guess we'll verify it now. It now. If he doesn't call in. I mean, this is a hell of a way to call in, right? It's kind of like the Warriors. Which, incidentally, I feel like one of the Warriors right now. Because ask me what I'm wearing. Go on.
From the movie? From the movie The Warriors?
Yes, from the movie The Warriors.
Well, there's so many great costumes in The Warriors.
Well, in this particular version of The Warriors, I look like Nanook of the North. I'm not even kidding you. I'm wearing, like, dry suit thermal underwear over top of regular clothing with a hoodie on.
Do you have a heater there?
Yeah,
do you have a heater at your feet? Or?
No. I don't have any of that stuff kit. What are you kidding? A heater? A heater for me?
That would help.
Yeah.
That would help.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, that would be great. It would be great, but unfortunately, I don't actually have that particular piece of snivel gear, so unfortunately, no good for
it. So now you know what Sean wants for Christmas.
Well, that's right.
A little heater. So he can keep his feet warm while doing the show out in the cold.
That's right.
Broadcast from his hut out back.
That's right. The shed. Sean, two sheds shed. Kennedy at your at your service. So following that, and you beating up on me over Taser, because I'm not going to stop with that. By the way, if we ever get on CNN or whatever, I'm going to use Taser.
Oh, great.
I will.
Yeah, and I'll be subtitled below James Taser O'Brien. I'll be so happy about that because, I mean, you'll be talking to them, making the initial contact. He loves being called Taser. Do not say his real name.
No, come on. Cut me some slack. If Sean's going to be a dick to me, he's going to be a screaming fucktard the entire time. I hate him. I hate him so much. Come on now. A little bit of credit, if you please. You know, I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to do that to you. I mean, I'd be like, well, you know, it's Taser. And then somebody's going to ask me. And this is, I'm Sean Kennedy, the fucking man. And this is Sumerian, the Taser. And they're like, Tazor? And it'd be like, and then all you got to do is you know, the all-seeing eye of Rant. And then people are like, Rant? And you're like, well, Rant Media, it's the name of it. Bang! Perfect segue.
No, I don't like the segue. I don't like the segue. It's not necessary. I'm sure we can come up with a better segue than Tazor.
Why not? Why? It's so appropriate. You're less than lethal. It's less than lethal. It's an alternative.
And going against the elite fighting forces of G.I. Joe is the evil Tazor.
What's wrong with... You've totally framed this wrong. You framed it all wrong. You've got it all...
No.
You just need... Steve Jobs would like Tazor. Steve Jobs would like Tazor.
That's nice.
He'd have eye Tazor. You know, he could do it. I think little eye. You know, make it friendly, right? Sort of Fisher Price, just one button, middle.
Yeah.
You know, Tazor. Yeah. It makes food. You know. I'm just saying. But anyway, the next letter. I'm not making it up. Sean Cannon, Sean the fucking man, and Sim Tazor. I swear to God, that's what it came out like. It did.
It's fake.
No. Okay,
he makes up all these. He makes up all these incoming messages. Nobody emails him.
Fuck you.
These are all fake.
So wrong. You're so wrong. Unmutual. Please, Unmutual, would you email info@rantradio.com and back my play to tell him that, yeah, in fact, that did happen. Thank you. Now, to get back to
I've already got a filter set up to dump any Tazor mail is straight into the junk.
It's not true.
So
you'll be sitting alone, grumpy, isolated on the corner of the internet, unwilling. You must awaken. The sleeper must awaken.
My basic filters have already been trained.
You are the king of these people. I'm trying to remember that line from
What
they say from Stryker. Remember Stryker? He's like the lost king
of
the bar. He's like, ah,
no, that sounds horrible.
Oh, it's great stuff.
That sounds like an 80s movie where some guy flies a plane and...
Yeah! 80s movies.
Does he fly a plane?
The 80s movie of the king of the 80s movies. Like, the king of the 80s movies is Megaforce. Megaforce is the worst.
Didn't I get that for you? I didn't watch it. I didn't see it.
We can't watch it. I can't watch it. It won't play on any DVD players I've got. I can't watch it.
What?
It won't play on nothing I've got. I'll bring it over to your house.
Bring it over, and I'll rip it to a file, and you can enjoy its glory.
Yeah, have you not seen it?
No, I've just seen the cover when I bought it for you.
Yeah,
no.
We have
looks
to watch it.
God awful.
Oh, it's
god awful.
It's so bad, though. It's so bad. Holy headband, man. It is so unbelievably bad. Like, if you want to chase Rambo.
People are categorized by the color of their headband. The black guys. Black headbands are the bad guys.
Well, you know,
the red headbands are the good guys. And the yellow headbands, they're ninjas.
You know, it's like laser tag with guns. It's awesome. It's totally good shit, you know? Anyway, just because... And you don't care, though, because you hate the 80s movies. You're really isolating yourself from the people of the internet, Sim, I just got to say.
No, I like 80s movies. I like certain 80s movies.
As an intervention, you know, you don't eat meat.
Yeah.
You know, no one's going to love you anymore.
If
you don't start liking, you know, what everybody else likes.
I have to embrace.
You'll be shunned.
I'm trying with the 80s movies. I'm catching up. I'm recording them all and watching them one by one, and they've been god-awful so far.
If we get shunned by the internet, it's the end of it, you know. We can't handle an internet shunning. Shun!
Yeah, no. Because today I watched Thunderdome. That's what brought all this 80s up.
It's great.
Just awful.
It's good stuff. But it's great segment.
Gina Turner!
She's rad, man. She's rad.
She was actually okay in the movie.
I saw a Tina Turner impersonator one time. I'm not kidding. And she's called Totally...
A man?
No.
Was
it was called Totally Tina. I'm sure if you Google it right now, Totally Tina, you'll find her. She's like about 4 feet tall. Like, she's tiny.
What?
Yeah. And it's like this total tribute. And she's got photos of herself and Tina Turner. And she has go-go dancers that back her up. Like, she is...
Wow.
And when you meet her, she acts like she's some kind of 7,000-foot-tall star. Like,
really?
Oh,
like, she's in character all the time.
Yeah, no, I think she really is that way, because she came across... She played this shitty bar that her agent booked her at, and with go-go dancers. And this is, like, a working man's bar, okay? And she's up there with, like, these this dude and this chick, and the dude is like, he's really uncomfortable, right? Because this is not his scene, and he's feeling really, really unsafe in this bar. Okay, he's a small, slightly effeminate-looking fellow who's this go-go dancer, built like a truck. I mean, he's in good shape, but he's clearly not very happy with his working environment right now. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, someone could find that exciting or someone would not find that exciting. I don't think he found it exciting, you know. And his female compatriot was, you know, I've seen pictures of borzois on vodka bottles that had more character than she did. She was just, oh my God, she hated every... There is no cat bald enough puckering its features away from the water to show her reaction to her environment. She hated it. And the lead character was this totally Tina person, and she was amazing, and she like made fun of the crowd. She started trying to give away door prizes and shit because that's part of her shtick, and no one cared. And then she's like, anybody know when Tina Turner blah 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 blah, and like asking this random trivia, like, when did Tina Turner get her first tooth, you know? And nobody fucking knows. And then she actually said, none of you dumb hicks know any of this stuff, right? And
like, I'm like, way to play up the crowd.
Wow, you're making...
Get on their side.
You know, like, what are you doing, you know? And I think she's a bitch too, right? And at this point, my whole role here is to try to prevent violence, right? That was my particular function. That's why I was unfortunate enough to be sitting in this bar. It's because at the time, I was a bouncer.
Oh, no.
And so, yeah. And I'm sitting there, and as far as I was concerned, they could have killed, gut, skinned, cooked, and eaten all three of these people, and I would have been okay with that. I'd been like, yeah, you know, the little fella doesn't taste too bad, you know? But seriously, it's... Yeah, man. Anyway, getting back to this email... this is, I don't know where we got from cannibalizing.
Wow.
Totally Tina. But anyway, Sean the fucking man and Sim Tazor. I have a bit of a situation. I am currently the president of my homeowners association down in the States. This summer, we were notified that a sex offender was released into the neighborhood. This sex offender is of the incestuous pedophile variety. To make the situation worse, his son is also a convicted sex offender, and was just released from prison last month and is staying with his sex offender father. Now we have two sex offenders in the same roof in the same neighborhood. Our neighborhood has children of all ages. All we seem able to do is notify the neighborhood of the presence of these offenders and provide them with pictures of each offender. The neighbors are extremely upset and frustrated with the situation. I want to make sure the neighbors don't do anything rash and mess up their lives. So my question to you: any idea on how to calm the neighbors down and keep everyone safe? Sean and Sim the Tazor have the ability to cut through all the bullshit and provide interesting opinions on difficult situations. Thank you, Unmutual. Yeah. Yeah, there's a good one. Hey, I haven't had a singer like that in a while. So I know yeah. You just did your show. The Pirate Party show.
Right. Well, I'm guessing these sex offenders... Right. Have done their time, and they've been released. They're not on the run. They're not on the lam. They're not a state prison or something. So they've been convicted. They've done their sentence and have been released back into society and deemed okay by our justice system.
Yes, they have.
By our justice system,
yeah. What we have here are people who are starting again.
Yes.
Okay? We don't know what they're starting, but they're starting again.
No, that's correct.
That's true. We don't know.
Yep.
Okay. Our society has told us that these people are good to go. The laws of the land we live in have told us that these people are good to go. Now,
and I'm also assuming that they've done this person sending the email has done their research, and they're actually sex offenders, pedophiles, and not just somebody who's been convicted of a sex crime.
Well, I'm approaching this as though I have no verification any of this is true. I mean, shit, somebody could have just made this up, sent it in to me, and now they're trolling us, right? Like, who knows? But it seems to me that in this particular situation, right, you've got a situation where you have two individuals who have been forced into this particular scenario, right? No one's going to want to move back in with their folks, especially, you know, coming out of prison. I'm sure that's not, you know, where you'd like to go. But when you're already, you know, sort of painted as the black sheep of the galaxy, you know, maybe these guys want to sort themselves out. I don't have any idea what's going on with these people. And to be honest with you, I don't really care. But sometimes worse than hatred is indifference. You know, sometimes you've got to turn your shoulder and just say, well, that's it. Because you're either going to, like, kill them or you're not. If you're going to kill them, some of your people are going to go to jail, and some of the children will grow up without fathers, and it will be horrible. That is a version of going to war. We want to avoid that scenario altogether, because that is bad. Okay, we know it's bad, okay, so we shouldn't do that. And we need to be very clear about that. So I would say to calm the neighbors down, you know, you got a lot of guys who are posturing right now. There's a lot of guys who are talking a lot of shit, because they want to show how much they hate this. And it's fun to get angry and hateful. And it's good to have a target every now and again. So, you know, that's what's going on there. But you need to be certain that if you do anything, someone is going to go to jail. Okay? And they will be punished for a very long time. And there is no conspiracy. There is no... We live in a country that has laws. Because if you don't... At some point, you have to... You have to draw the line. And even if it's religious conviction, if you start hurting people, that's not cool. I don't care how right you think you are. The minute you start, like, hurting people without... And then people get into the whole soldier thing and government-sanctioned violence and blah, blah, blah. It's a never-ending cycle. But I think at some point, you just have to stop. Like, if these Islamic jihadist guys, you know, were to get a hold of this, translated into their language, and they were listening to it, and they're like, you know, I don't know what the Prophet Muhammad was really saying, but I'm pretty sure that he'd probably agree with Sean when he's saying, just, you know, if somebody gives you a bomb, tells you to put it on your chest and blow yourself up, and tells him it was my idea, tell him that that's not true. Okay? I don't know how that message got fucked up. That's one hell of a telephone conversation.
Misinterpreted.
Yeah, but there some mistakes have been made in the translation of that broadcast. You know, I don't know what if there was a God and he was all merciful, which, you know, since we're playing what the hell, you know, I would also surmise that he would not want you to put bombs on yourself and blow yourself up or hurt anyone else for that matter. He'd probably want you to, I don't know, love people and stuff. I mean, that's sort of the big overextending message of most of the, you know, long-reaching organized religions that people have fucked up. I mean, I know you're convinced, and you're probably right, Sim, that, you know, the whole thing should just be burned in a giant fiery pit and say to hell with it. But I'm just saying that there is a, you know, there was originally a good idea in there somewhere. The best of intentions.
Oh, no, it helped a lot of people for a long time. It, like, religion helps back in the days when you knew nothing and you followed these things to help you through. Don't mix your milk with your meat because, you know, it's going to get contaminated. But now we know a little bit better about, you know, germ theory and stuff. So we don't need to really rely on 2,000-year-old texts. So we can move on.
Right. Which, you know... unfortunately, though, it's not everyone can be as clinical as you are. The humans are emotional creatures. You know, I would argue that you would fit more easily on, say, Vulcan as a planet than you would say on that shitty little planet in the original Star Trek series where the guy's like, stepping into Eden, yeah, brother. Did you ever see that?
No, I don't remember that one.
Oh, it was fantastic. These space hippies, they picked them up. Yeah, no, it was great. Nice. And they're all like, they got like the, you know, they started calling Kirk Herbert. It's a really famous, Herbert, 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 Herbert.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's a classic.
I dub thee Herbert.
Oh, yeah, Herbert, man. It's awesome. Oh, I would revel in that, to be called Herbert. And as king of the nerd people, Captain Kirk was called Herbert, man. Are you kidding? To be compared with that? I would blush. but anyhow, getting back to Tazor's particular... Sorry, the guys on Mutual's situation.
Yes.
No, honestly, that was honestly a slip of the tongue.
Get it off your brain.
Sorry. Mm. It's not going away.
But, yeah, you shouldn't attack these guys. Be mindful of them.
Well, he's saying how to calm down neighbors. He wants to know how to calm down.
Well, you know what? On one hand, he's saying, yeah, we looked them up, got pictures, and distributed flyers to all our neighbors, and now we got to calm them down. Well, you're the guy who riled them up in the first place. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, they're sex offenders, but don't go crazy. Well, okay, well.
You know.
You got to get both sides of your mouth talking the same way. Yeah, and make sure people know what's going on in your neighborhood. It's good to be informed, but, you know,
well,
you can't just push somebody else's problem out of the neighborhood and, you know, put it on somebody else's neighborhood. It's a never-ending cycle.
No, it's true. Sometimes I wonder about whether or not you should be, maybe you shouldn't broadcast that kind of stuff, you know? Like, But by the same token, you know, I've got huge cognitive dissonance over that. Right, I'm a law-abiding person.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
I try to be as law-abiding as I possibly can be. I don't think there is such a thing as a law-abiding citizen anymore, actually. If you think about it, everybody listening to this show right now is guilty of something. Right?
Fuck,
I don't know what it is. Maybe your library books are overdue or whatever. So maybe your library books are overdue. They kick in the door to your house. They go through everything. They find some software. Oh, that's a felony, and that causes two more felonies with an electronic device. And before you know it, they got a stack of fucking charges. You know, the press gets a hold of it. Alleged child porn. I mean, fuck, there goes your name. You know, and before you know it, you're world famous for being a piece of shit. And you didn't do anything. You know, not a goddamn thing. So, by the same token, though, I mean, you got these two sex offenders in the house, blah, blah, blah. Hey, man, if I was in charge of the universe, I would have a slightly different approach to this. But the truth of the matter is I'm not. And I have self-control, and that's what separates us from the animals, is our ability to sometimes follow orders. And the orders state that we cannot do that. And if you want to remain a good guy and on the side of right and justice and moms and apple pie and ice cream, you have to fucking follow orders sometimes. You know? Yeah. And it's
a race. Also, I did a story on my show. I don't think it's in yours. I just glanced through it. Is some guy was downloading porn off LimeWire.
Like, right.
You know, above age porn, no problems.
Whatever,
and
he's downloading porn.
Downloading porn, highlighted a whole bunch of stuff, downloaded it, went through it. Oh my God, there's some underage porn. Deleted it, right?
Right.
Because, you know, that's not what he wants, and that's not a good thing.
Whatever, he deleted
and
it.
Then,
yeah,
he deleted it.
Right.
Later on, the cops want to take a look at his computer for, I don't know, they didn't say why. But probably copyright infringement or something. And they looked through his computer and looked through the deleted files that he can't even access and found this porn, this child porn. And now he's going to jail. And he has to register as a sex offender.
Yeah, he's fucked.
So it's... Yeah, exactly. And you got to know why these people are registered as sex offenders. Because, you know, pissing in public, you're a sex offender.
Well, I personally hate people who urinate in public. It's a personal peeve of mine.
But sex offender?
Yeah, sex offender's a bit steep for a drunk guy pissing in a parking lot.
That's a
bit of a broad brush. And
kind of heaping everybody into one big bad
pile.
Well,
right now, locally in Vancouver, okay, there's a guy who's was on a hockey team. Okay, he's a hockey coach, been in the hockey community for years. Okay. And all of a sudden, allegations that he, like, was touching kids and shit. Okay? And this one kid has come forward, apparently. Well, I know a guy who was on the teams and worked with this coach for years. Okay? And was on the team with it. And this kid was a fucking psycho. Right? And it was like, suddenly, he's telling a totally different story. You know what I mean? And you're wow, you know, holy cow.
And even being... So being in the paper, accused. It's over.
You're
accused. You're
done.
It's in the paper.
And I mean, my God, man, to have all your legacy, all the work that you've done, everything you've ever stood for, you know, to be called a beast like that. It reminds me of that Mel Gibson movie, The Man with Two Faces, I think it's called, where he's... it's a drama. It's actually not too bad. He plays a dude who's been burned. And he's, like, reading Shakespeare to this young boy and all this kind of stuff. And they allude in the film... that he was a sex offender or something like that, and it's a hell of a film. You should check it out. I think it's called The Man with Two Faces. Mel Gibson.
Man Without a Face.
That's the one. Man Without a Face. Yeah, it was all right. It was all right. I mean, I don't like drama. I don't like drama.
Yeah.
And I got through it. You know, so. Well, a lot of people don't like scary movies. My buddy, Osiris, he comes up to me the other day. He's a pilot, right? Aerobatic pilot instructor. Yeah. The guy's a ninja, right? He can do shit that makes people throw up. You know, it's insane. But he doesn't like scary movies. Doesn't like the scary movies. I forget this because I like the scary movies, right? They have to be good.
Yep.
So he comes up to me and he's got a video in his hands and he says, shows me it's Descent, you know? And he says, is this a good movie? And I said, yeah, it's a great movie. It's a fantastic movie. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah. And so he gets it. It scares the living shit right out of him, right? And he's got, like, the red alarm clock in his room that's making it look like it's all, like, the flare in the cave and everything. He's freaking out.
Oh, like,
didn't sleep away. Angry. Yeah. Phones me. Angry, dude. Angry.
Oh.
He was being very, very undude. What's that? Oh?
No. What?
Oh, it's you. I thought you cut me off.
No.
Cut you off. Okay, good. Awkward pause. Into the news. In Apocalypse After Now news, Queenslanders. You know you're fucked when. Okay, when you get this news report comes out for your neighborhood, it's all over.
It's
seriously,
news.
Yeah, everyone will not be laughing at you for carrying the welding goggles around then, okay? It's going to be fucking on. Queenslanders need to adopt a survivor mentality and learn to fend for themselves in storms and brushfires. The state's disaster response chief warns. Emergency workers fear unprepared households will again swamp services as the storm and brush fire seasons heat up. You know, just leave us alone. Emergency Management Queensland Director of Disaster Management, Mike Chaplin, said a reliance on technology and city services meant urban Queenslanders were losing the ability to help themselves in a time of crisis. Yeah, what do you mean you want fire hydrants? Jeez.
Come on.
Fucking an ambulance?
Much.
Are you fucking serious? You know?
We've only got so many of these things. Come on.
You knew outside was on fire. Why did you go outside? You know? He said while emergency organizations would continue to assist households, households needed a wake-up call and how to stop falling into a woe-is-me mentality. Oh.
Wow. Wow.
My world
is
broken.
That is
funny. Outside.
Woe is me mentality.
Outside is on fire. Brush fire cascades my environment. Eeyore. You know, Homer. Walking through fallout. You know, seriously. In a very large event, we have finite resources in Australia, and it's going to take time to get to people. So, you know, your 911 call, it's important to us. But please. Please continue to hold. Your average hold time is 7, 2, 3, 5 hours. then he says, so after the thing is over, what are you expecting? Your power might be out for a bit, so you might not have a fridge. You may not have any fresh food, so you might have to have some tinned food. It's the initiative in thinking through things and saying, yes, I can do something about this, rather than, no, I'm waiting for someone else to provide. At the center
if
of
they this- did this in the U.S., people would go ballistic on this news report. Like, they would go, what? You're not providing for me? Oh, my God. I've got to do it for myself? Like, seriously.
Ah, I think
they
only
would.
Certain people would. I think for a lot of people in, like, the southern states, it would be Thursday.
They'd be going, hell yeah.
They'd be like, go get the truck. At the center of the victim mentality is a failure of households to have action plans in place. In the week that followed in the massive storm that hit the Gap last year, the main emergency number was swamped with more than 23,000 calls. People, fucking disaster.
Everything's on fire.
Stop straining the network. A recent survey by NERMA and the Queensland State Emergency Services revealed nearly 2/3 of Queenslanders' household were unprepared for the storm season, and that more than 1 in 5 did not have emergency kits or provisions. Now, to be fair, you know, what the fuck? Okay, really.
I don't know. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Shut up, dude. You're living in a shithole. Like, it's Australia.
No, that's totally true.
I've been walking around with a goddamn sidearm I could fucking carry.
If you live in the Midwest in the U.S., you're going to be hit by tornadoes. You should be prepared for tornadoes. Well, if you live in a flood area, you should be prepared
like
for floods.
I mean, you probably dig that shit. You know, if I lived in a jet.
If you live in Northern California, you be prepared for brush fires. Or, you know, Australia, be prepared for the brush fires.
Well, you know,
you don't move to an area because it's cheap and then complain because things are burning down every year. Well, right. Yeah, that's what they do. That's why it's cheap. Because you have to rebuild your goddamn house every year.
So, you know, anyway, they have these handy survival tips for the noobs out there in Australia who can't handle a little bit of cyclonic drought, radioactive dust storms, and fucking brush fires. All you noobs, fucking whiners, here you go. What you doing?
Whiners.
You fucking whiners. Everyone who needs to call the wambulance to get the sand out of your vaginas, listen up. Prepare your household emergency plan. And make sure every family member knows what to do in possible scenarios. Nominate an evacuation point. I love this.
How do you nominate a point?
That's
you!
That's such
step up, soldier!
You! What's your name?
Paris!
Hi, Paris! You are now going to nominate an evacuation point! Make a list of household emergency contacts, detail medical conditions, and plans for dealing with pets in an emergency! Where the fuck is the cat? The house is on fire. The world is a tornado. Where's the fucking cat? Make sure every family member knows which numbers to call and how to tune the radio into the ABC. Step up. You have 10. Count them. 10 seconds to tune in this Mark 1 radio to the ABC. Move now. Go. Dad, I hate you. Anyway. Prepare your emergency kit, including a battery-powered radio, medical prescriptions, important documents, food, water, and blankets. Which is kind of funny because they put food, water, and blankets on the end, which is quite large. You know, it's like all you need is food, water, and blankets, and you're pretty much good to go, which is essentially a clue. If you put somebody
just in some food, water, blankets.
Yeah, if you drop somebody in a junkyard that was full of nothing but food, water, and blankets, they would survive. If they had piles
this junkyard's
of food,
so
blankets,
soft, it's full of blankets.
It'd be a weird dystopian Beatles movie, but there it is, you know?
That's true.
You know, prepare your house for evacuation. What? Prepare your house. We're going to fuck off.
House, we got to go, house. Come on,
we
house.
We are leaving. Okay, we would you lock up? Where would you go? What would you leave behind? So have the shit that you want to keep picked out. So basically,
left behind.
Have an AWOL
bag. All the atheists
that's
were exactly, left behind.
That's like an AWOL bag Bravo. That's like have the trailer. Know what fits in the trailer. Know your neighbors. Hello, neighbor. You may all be reliant on them. That may be a lifesaver in some cases. Like, holy
we
gladiator.
We didn't prepare.
You know,
I didn't prepare.
But if it comes through, we'll only have a better chance if we stick together. You know, like, holy crap.
See. If you have Sean for a neighbor, know Sean as your neighbor. He'll be prepared, even if you aren't.
Yeah, well, the first thing that happens if the apocalypse happens is if I don't know you and you're coming on my property, you're getting shot.
And he was a zombie.
And like, just because you're with Sim, that's not going to save your ass, just so you know. Understanding what effects of disasters might be in your area. Is your area prone to storms, cyclones, flooding, or bushfires? Does the hand of God regularly scratch the planet in your location? If so, you may want to move. Perhaps get the fuck out. That would be the good plan. So that's what the government says. It's basically like, we're busy. You know? Stop.
Well, when the whole country's on fire, everybody wants your help.
Outside
so
is on fire. What do you do?
Yeah,
have a backup. Right. Make sure you have a generator that runs on batteries so you can use your PlayStation inside your Geodome.
I'm surprised they said battery-powered radio rather than hand-cranked radio. I would go for a hand-cranked radio.
You want to play
that lasts forever.
You want to do the PlayStation thing with a hand crank? Wow.
No, not the PlayStation.
Well,
hand-cranked PlayStation.
Well, no,
the radio. The radio.
That. I mean, that's the great thing about technologies, because really, technology, after the apocalypse, that's when technology is going to really kick ass. You know?
Any idiot
could be in the apocalypse and, like, build a hand crank. Who wants that shit? We want the solar-powered super ninja shit, where we don't do anything. We got shiny black stuff that does stuff for us. you know, I have the food maker thing. I drop a live animal in this and I get food on the other side, you know.
It's good. You can have Master Blaster make methane for you from pigs. That's in Thunderdome.
He makes nothing.
Thunderdome.
He makes nothing for you with pigs?
No. Master Blaster.
Right.
Make methane.
Oh, sorry.
Methane from the pigs.
I thought you said he makes nothing for you out of pigs, which is better. I'm like, what did he do with the pigs? He made nothing for you. Which I'm like, that's really fucked up. In 28 days. What?
No, it was kind of funny when they took off the helmet of Master Blaster guy, and it was Corky. That was kind of funny.
Yeah. It's, I mean, why leave it alone, okay? It wasn't the greatest movie in the world, all right? I didn't recommend that movie to you, all right? You can't.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, you can't.
But it was Mad Max, so I had to complete the trilogy. So
well, it's
I had
not
to
my
see
fault.
It.
Why do you always got to take it out on me? Right, you
know, it's your fault.
It's not my fault.
You and your '80s movies.
Well,
your '80s movies.
Did you really hate RoboCop that much? Did you really? Come on, it wasn't that bad. It was pretty okay. It was.
There were parts that were okay.
There we go. Okay, so thank you. If you can get a couple parts out of it to get a giggle, then you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, in 28 Days Later News, which is a good movie. Okay, 28 Days Later, good film. In 28 Days Later News, thanks very much, BG, for sending this in. The health ministry has reported 151 flu patients up to the age of 17 demonstrating abnormal behavior between late September and mid-November, including acting violently and uttering gibberish. Teenagers acting violently, and most of the cases are believed to involve patients with swine flu, and the strained behavior is thought to have occurred regardless of whether they were given the drug Tamiflu. But according to a report submitted to a research group at Health, Labor, and Welfare Ministry, the number of cases coming to appear in less than 2 months is already close to a total of 179 seen in all last year's flu season. The official ministry says there's been a rise in a line of the spread of new H1 flu virus, and young patients should be watched carefully for at least 2 days after developing a fever. Now, this is weird here. Most of the cases are believed to have involved patients with swine flu, and the strange behavior is thought to have occurred regardless of whether they were given the drug Tamiflu. But why would they put that in there? That's an interesting thing to put in there. Why did they put that in there? You know what I mean? It's also, it happened whether or not they were in sunshine.
Or they blew their noses.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But,
yeah.
So, hang on. So you've got people who look like they have the flu, okay, who suddenly start acting violently and uttering gibberish. Now, acting violently and uttering gibberish is pretty vague. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, of the 151 patients, it is known that Tamiflu was used in 26 cases, Relenza in 36, and neither of them in 16. So, okay.
And they all went crazy. They all were uttering gibberish.
Well, what do we got here? So we got people.
Not all of them. No,
we got
the
50,
ones that
36,
were the ones uttering gibberish.
Well, yeah. Well, if you look at their numbers, though, right? They got 151, right?
Yeah.
So 151, 26 and 36 is what? That's like 62. Right, so that's and then you add another 16 on top of that, you're 78, right?
Yep.
So
that's about half.
That's about half.
Yep.
So but looking at what they say here, the other percentage of the number would have both had Tamiflu and Relenza. You see what I'm saying? So it is known that Tamiflu was used in 26, Relenza in the other, and neither of them in 16. So logic would then tell me that the remaining crew would have both the Tamiflu and the Relenza, wouldn't they? I mean, unless I'm reading that wrong. Tamiflu has been banned for its use among teenagers out of fear it may cause abnormal behavior, although it can still be used in some cases. Now, bear in mind, this is probably Japanese-English stuff we're reading here. So what we're getting out of this is we got teenagers are turning into zombies in Japan. And, you know, you could probably have, I've seen some of the pictures that come out of Japan, and you could probably have quite a few zombies for quite a while before anyone would notice anything was wrong. Like, there's nothing out of the
maybe,
ordinary.
Maybe they're acting violent and uttering gibberish before they got in.
There's acting violent, like, and swing your arm and smack somebody, and then there's acting violent, like, chewing through the door. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Like, yeah. And they're like, you know, they got the blood running down their face and out of their eyes, like, eating off their fucking hair as they, like, you know, scrape through their own flesh with their fingernails to get at the door, smashing their head into it until it, you know, splinters into their skull. Screaming the whole while, totally, regardless of pain. Doesn't even exist. As a matter of fact, it looks like an embrace. Yeah, that's when grandma has turned to the other side, and it's time to practice those drills you learned in cadets oh so long ago. Now, in space... Now, that's a very strange story, though. I don't trust these... I don't trust the vaccines, man. I don't. You know, I really don't. I'm just not getting any more needles. Okay? Like, no. Okay? I'm done.
No more needles.
Finished with the fucking needles. Okay? I had way more needles than I ever wanted in the Army. Okay? I still don't know what they pumped me full of to this fucking
day. That's
true. Yeah. You know, I really don't. I got no idea. Are you kidding? No one tells you shit. Right?
No, it's good for you.
Well, no,
make
they give you a piece of paper, and then that's gone, and you're moving and shit. You don't care. Track of that stuff. Anyway.
That's true. Yeah.
In space news. Energy beamed down from space is one step closer to reality now that California has given the green light to a deal involving its sale. But some major challenges will have to overcome the technology so it can be used wisely. On Thursday, the California Public Utilities Commission gave its blessing to an agreement that would see the Pacific Gas and Electric Company buy 200 megawatts of power beamed down from solar power satellites beginning in 2016. A startup company called Solern is designing the satellites, which says it will use radio waves to beam energy down to a receiving station on Earth. The attraction of collecting solar power in space is the virtual uninterrupted sunshine available in geosynchronous orbit. Earth-based solar cells, by contrast, can only collect sunlight during daytime and when the skies are clear. But space-based solar power might grapple with the high cost per kilogram of launching things into space, says Richard Schwartz of Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. Schwartz chaired the U.S. National Academics Conference in 2001, wrote up an assessment of NASA's space-based solar project power research. If you're talking about being economically viable for terrestrial power, it's a tough go, he says. Cal Bowman, Solaris Director of Energy Services, says the company designed its satellites with a view of keeping launch costs down. We knew we had to come up with a different, revolutionary design, and a patent the company's won describes a way to reduce the system's weight, including the inflatable mirrors, focusing sunlight on solar cells, so he's built a bigger, better widget, and he's going to have a go, essentially, is what's going on there.
Very cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, what they should do is they should shoot stuff into orbit. Right, with guns.
Yeah, slingshot.
No, there was a guy. That's what they killed, that Canadian guy. Right, there was a Canadian guy.
Oh, yeah,
he
yeah.
He went to NASA, told NASA he could put satellites in orbit for like $700 a shot, essentially, because he could build a gun that he couldn't
fire.
Was
that that really, really long gun that starts in a mountain or something and shoots out?
That was the depiction that was in a Punisher comic that you read. But I don't believe the gun was ever actually put into construction. But okay. But he went to NASA and he pitched it. And this guy was some kind of engineer. And he went and NASA said, no, thank you very much. We're not interested. We like our budget the way it is. And so he started shopping around for ideas, and apparently Saddam Hussein hired this guy to build him a gun so he could shell, like, mega long distances. He wanted to be able to, like, shell Britain if he wanted to with this massive cannon.
You can shoot anything you want, right?
Yeah, it's essentially artillery. So he either got killed in Britain or he got killed in Canada by Mossad, is rumored to have taken him out. Because he was just working for the wrong people. And it was a big scandal when it happened, and they actually did a comic book based on it with the whole Frank Castle thing, with the Punisher thing. It was like, because they did that with all the Punisher comics, they would take relative issues and somehow get the guy involved, and it was the Punisher and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, that was a thing that happened. So anyway, I'm just saying, you know, that that would be what they should do to get these satellites up there. It's a good way to deliver things to space. Yeah. It's already been, you know, tried.
Well, anything to get, you know, the advancement in science of getting things into space is awesome.
Must get to space. Speaking of which, in Super Soldier News, thank you very much, Crunch. Get muscles now? Ask me how! As published in the Journal of Science, Translational Medicine, researchers at the National Children's Hospital in Ohio State University have proven that blocking myostatin in monkeys will lead to skeletal muscle growth with few or no discernible negative side effects. It was only
uncontrollable rage.
Few. One or two. Only a couple flipper babies. Myostatin.
Only a couple.
Is the protein that helps mammals regulate muscle building. What could possibly go wrong? Acting as a signal for muscles to stop consuming resources and stop growing. Blocking myostatin leads to enhanced muscle strength and continuous muscle growth. You may remember Liam Hoekstra, the baby that apparently born with a myostatin gene, without the myostatin gene, and similarly enabled animals have absurd strength. Using the gene therapy, NCH scientists were able to get follistatin, a myostatin blocker, to promote phenomenal muscle growth in quadriceps of macaw monkeys. NCH is now working with the FDA to provide preliminary steps necessary to contain the monkeys as they have become inhuman and unable to be... Sorry. Perform the preliminary steps necessary for the human clinical trial. Hi. We gave it to this monkey in this picture. Here is before and after. We'd like to stick this shit in your legs. Do you mind? You can see superhuman gene therapy available in the next decade. The National Children's Hospital interest in myostatin is not to create super strong children. Fuck no, why would we want to do that? But to help those children whose muscles have already atrophied. Muscular dystrophy affects thousands of children in the U.S. who slowly lose muscles and rarely survive into adulthood. Awesome! I'll go with that. You bet. It's for the kids. Follistatin gene therapy could serve as a method to extend their lives, perhaps even to reverse the symptoms of their conditions. You betcha. Likewise, the elderly are susceptible to several diseases that lead to a loss of muscle and strength and coordination. By blocking myostatin, we may be able to live with the strength of youth even well into our 80s. My concerns about myostatin have largely focused on the potential organ damage, possibly unknown dangerous effects on smooth muscle tissue, and ligament/tendon stress. The NCH work addresses these concerns rather well. The monkeys were observed for 15 months after receiving gene therapy that promoted follistatin and blocked myostatin in their quadriceps. So 15 months later, the monkeys were okay. That was the extent of their, you know. There was no observed damage to I cut him open. Yeah, he looks okay. Is he okay? Yeah, they're pretty fresh. They look okay to me. The treatment only seemed to affect skeletal muscle. The reproductive cycles and the cells function normally. There was no reported damage to the tendons or the ligaments. Of course, it's not reported. They're monkeys. They can't speak English. Jesus.
They didn't complain.
They never said shit, man. These monkeys will not talk. The Belgian Blue has been bred to be predisposed towards myostatin blocking. This is the large bull they have. There's a Belgian Blue.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
With all animals we've seen with myostatin inhibition, the monkeys at NCH enjoyed some serious boost to their strength. The Max exhibited enhanced muscle growth after 12 weeks of treatment. Beyond that, the muscle mass stabilized. The average circumference of the animal's quadricep increased 15%. 15%. Using electrostimulation, you can order a monkey to... You can't order a monkey to lift weights. So essentially, they hook the monkeys up to those little things that, you know, flex your muscles for you. And the scientists were able to observe profound increases in leg strength. One specimen demonstrated a 78% increase in strength. The next step...
78%?
Yeah.
That's almost double the size.
Yeah, well, a monkey muscle is different from human muscle, though. It's not... no, it is. I mean, the way it's designed, like pound for pound, ape muscle is, like, way stronger than human muscle, yeah. Enki was talking to me about it one time, and he's a pretty smart guy. So he was telling me about this stuff, and yeah, apparently, yeah, the whole thing is like...
Monkey muscle!
Well, if you meet an orangutan whose arm pretty much is the same size as mine, okay, that orangutan will tear a car door off. Okay, and I can't do that. Ooh. Right?
Yeah. No.
Unless, you know, he knows a secret.
Yeah, that's frightening.
Some kind of kung fu that I don't know about. Which, in which case, I'd be all about learning that from the monkey, but...
I know the weakness of the door.
Oh, yeah, if the monkey's like, oh, hey, and he comes over and you see him do the big hand whisper thing and he, like, tells me that, now I know the monkey's secret, you know, and I can, like, I'm as strong as he is. That'd be awesome. That's another tale. That's another 80s TV show right there! I mean, you haven't even
The
lived.
Uplifted Monkey!
Well, Manimal, come on. Manimal, Auto yeah. Man, you know, come on, what are you doing to me? Chinese biometric fraud news. Now, this is the most Blade Runner story ever in the history of the world. Chinese woman managed to enter Japan illegally by having plastic surgery to alter her fingerprints, thus fooling immigration control, police claim. Ling Rong, 27, had previously been deported from Japan for overstaying her visa. She was only discovered when she was arrested on separate charges. Tokyo police said she paid $15,000, 9,000 pounds, to have the surgery in China. It's Japan's first case of alleged biometric fraud. But police believe the practice may be widespread. Like, wow. Japanese police suspect Chinese brokers of taking huge sums of money to modify fingerprints surgically. Local media reports say Mrs. Lin had undergone surgery to swap fingerprints from her right and left hands. Skin patches on her thumbs and index fingers were removed and then regrafted onto the matching digits of the opposing hand.
That doesn't sound painful at all.
Fuck!
Ow. Straight Gattaca.
Fuck! You want to be doing that? That's like, you want to wash your hands before you do that. Holy cow. Japanese newspapers say police have noticed that Miss Lin's fingers had unnatural scars when she was arrested last month for allegedly faking a marriage to a Japanese man. Man, this bitch wants in.
What? What movie was it where some guy was biting off his fingerprints in? Some horror movie or something?
Yeah, he bit off his fingerprints. That was, I think it was the actor.
Seven.
Yeah, that's right.
It was Seven. No, he was scraping his fingerprints off with a razor blade. That's what
right.
It was.
Yeah.
So he had all his fingers bound up.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's brutal.
The apparent ability of illegal migration networks to break through high-tech controls suggests that other countries who fingerprint visitors could be equally vulnerable, at least the United States. Okay, well, wait, what the hell? So, wait a second. She overstayed her visa? That's her big fucking crime?
That's her huge crime. You stayed too long, but I was enjoying myself in Japan. Get out!
But she's, like, faking a marriage to a Japanese man, so it's not like she actually did marry some Japanese guy. She faked a marriage.
Well, if you marry a Japanese guy, you can stay in Japan forever, right?
Oh, really?
You can only enter in Japan if you marry into Japan. You cannot emigrate into Japan.
Oh.
That's the only way you can get into Japan, because they're quite xenophobic.
Oh, really?
Oh, I see. Yeah. So they are going to relax their laws soon, I've heard, because their population, their young population, is completely decreasing and they have no money to pay for their health care.
Right. So, Well, I guess, you know, you stick a gun in their mouth that way, it's going to be there. Now, here's something you want to look at, Sim, you know, because they're talking to you with some terrorism news. Now, I'm worried, Sim. This is why you got to eat the hot dogs, okay? This is why bologna is on your plate, okay? This is why, okay? Because of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, ADA. I'm not making that up. It's actually called ADA, okay? Like, I ate a rabbit.
Okay. I ate a...
with the publication of Jonathan Safran Foer's captivating... This is a different guy. This isn't the Jonathan Safran that you gave me, Jonathan Safran versus God or whatever. Different dude.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway.
Okay.
Jonathan Foer's captivating and powerful book, Eating Animals. So I figured this will win. But anyway, much has been said about written about his undercover investigative work in which America gets a view inside the hidden world of factory farms, which is fucking horrible. Okay, they're absolutely deplorable. They're shitty, horrible, suffering film.
Mm-hmm. You know,
good stuff.
Yep.
What has not been commented on, however, is the disquieting fact that under existing federal law and state laws, Mr. Foer's undercover actions, so sneaking in there, getting footage of all this shit, you know, expose kind of stuff, while clearly an important public service, it's actually illegal. Okay, so he's trespassing to do all this stuff. Okay.
Filming without permission? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is, yeah. Well, but what's more is that they actually constitute acts of domestic terrorism.
Okay, so terrorism. Filming is terrorism.
In 2006, President Bush signed into law a little-known but sweeping piece of legislation called the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. I didn't know about this. Okay, and I'm on the game on this shit. An expansion of previously an existing and equally little-known Animal Enterprise Protection Act, which is okay, whatever. With the speed and lack of reflection rivaling the passage of the USA Patriot Act after 9/11, Congress pushed this animal industry-crafted law through in a single day, with only one lone dissenting voice in opposition, that of Ohio Congressman Dennis Kunich, who
I think is vegan.
Might be.
I recognize that name.
Yeah, well, he's a big political guy. Mr. Kunich is the only one to read the ADA and makes into domestic terrorism any actions that physically interfere with the operation of any animal enterprise or that cause physical or economic damage to said enterprise, regardless of motive or reason. Under ADA, the following actions by Mr. Foer, all described in his book, constitute animal enterprise terrorism. Mr. Foer, a New York resident illegally and under cover of night, enters a turkey farm in California with animal protection rights activists identified only as C. This interstate travel and conspiracy is also a violation of California's own sweeping Animal Enterprise Protection Act and other laws prohibiting trespassing on, filming in, and otherwise documenting any operation of a factory farm. Following the initial trespass, C, with clear foliage and the consent of Mr. Four, euthanizes a sick and suffering turkey chick writhing on the floor. Now we're talking conspiracy and destruction of property of an animal enterprise. There are further actions and statements in the book that could be interpreted as Mr. Four's inferring, or at least trying to interfere with the operation of various animal enterprises, including much of what Mr. Four exposes as stirs such moral indignation that it's strange people didn't take to the streets to demand its change, thereby possibly interfering with the operation of one animal enterprise or another. There are further actions and statements in the book that also could be interpreted as Mr. Foer interfering, or at least trying to interfere, with the operation of various animal enterprises. Indeed, much of what Mr. Foer exposes serves such indignation that it'd be strange if people didn't take to the street. Oh, sorry, I doubled myself there. Demand the change. Mm. For all this, our laws say Mr. Foer could be prosecuted as a domestic terrorist. But, of course, he won't be, I hope. Not because what I say isn't true, but because Mr. Foer is protected by a statute as a celebrated author. Unfortunately, the animal rights activists, C, are not so lucky. Now, this is interesting stuff, because it gets right back to, like, all of us are felons. We're all criminals. All of us. We're all guilty of some shit. You speed, or you went parking, and they could dig through your lives. They could look through every little sordid detail of your life.
Oh, yeah. They'll find something.
For sure. And if not, they could plant it. Hell. They don't even... They could frame you up, and I think no one really accepts the fact that you could be framed up, because in a world where they frame people up, it's so terrifying that, you know, what do you believe, right?
It's not contemplatable.
Yeah, it's utterly terrifying. Like, people you believe... You know, what if Clifford Olson was actually innocent? You know, and stuff like that, where you're like, holy fuck, your brain snaps. And that's why people can't wrap their heads around 9/11. And that's why people can't give up Islam. And that's why people can't, you know, say there's no God, because if they do that, their brain breaks and they're fucked, right? So you got to come up with some kind of halfway 13-step recovery program to get off Jesus or something, because it's, no, seriously, people won't do it. You know, they can't do it. They can't just drop it and go. That's why they, you know, the whole atheist thing is, while I understand your point, and I'm pissed off too, I didn't like it when they burned my books either, but you can't just, you know, burn all their books and punch them. You know, that's can't do that. We gotta have something else, you know, to show. But anyway, getting back to the animal thing. I don't know. What do you think, Sim? I mean, the guy's... He's Paul Watson. You know, what's he doing?
Yep. You know? And you know what? I don't think these laws would stop these people from doing this.
Oh,
they
don't,
view it... No. They don't care.
No,
they don't care. They see this...
Like, these guys... Yeah. This is a cause. Okay, these guys are doing it for the cause.
They see this as daily genocide.
Yeah.
They do not care. They are rescuing animals.
Right.
They are stopping the daily genocide of animals.
Right.
Millions of animals a day.
Right.
And they see this as a just cause, and they'll go to jail for it. They will. So putting these things in place will not stop this. And really, showing video of your practices to other people, why do you have to throw somebody in jail forever for showing what you should be doing legally? Are you hiding something? I mean, that doesn't give an excuse, but I mean,
yeah, no,
you should be able to.
It's an interesting idea.
One hand, yes, it's a private owned corporation that, you know, you shouldn't be trespassing and going into and you know, doing things to other people that, you know, they didn't invite you to do. But on the other hand, this is a bit too harsh of a thing, harsh of a penalty for going in and videotaping something.
You know, if I've got private property and I want to cut up chickens on my private property, okay,
mm-hmm.
and laws of the land state I'm allowed to cut up chickens on my private property, you know, and
yeah.
I've got some people trespassing with cameras and stuff, invading my
yeah.
own private space with cameras, creating
yeah.
media on my property illegally, all of the barriers to prevent these people from coming onto my property have failed, I think I should be allowed to shoot them. I'm just saying, you know, like if
yeah,
if,
and I
think
and
that if the guy knew that there was armed people inside the building who would shoot him if he was doing that,
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't have done it. I don't
yeah.
think he would have done it.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Usually,
so,
a lot of these people, what they do is they actually get a job there and take cameras in, so they don't even need to, you know, go under dark of night and skulk around.
Yeah, you know, I guess, well, that's industrial espionage on some level, right? Like, on one hand, I know what you're saying about the whole, you know, I mean...
In the end, you know what? They don't care. They don't care. They'll do it anyway, no
so
matter what laws you pass.
What's the solution? What's the solution here?
Oh,
I guess you
got to
do it in the light of day. I guess you can't really, you know... they should probably say, yeah, come on in. I mean, everything's up to health code. And if it's not up
yeah.
to health code and everything's not good... then maybe we should clean it up and get it to a stage so it is a health code. So the people are,
yeah.
and you know what, if this is how you get your omelets, then this is how you get your omelets. All right? And there it is. If you don't want to know, don't ask. And I don't want people going around throwing blood on me because I, you know, I'm eating my tasty hamburger with my family. You know, I just,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that there's something to be said for being somewhat transparent. You can't really have two worlds, you know, you got to have it all. You know, out in the open, I guess probably best. But I guess, but like you
yeah,
say, no matter what you do, people are not—they're not going to be happy. Even if the rest of society is like,
no,
"Yeah, we don't care," they're
going to
still be. You know, people are duh. People, I tell you. Anyway, Cyberpunk Kit in Thermoptic Cam News. Philips researchers have developed a novel color e-paper technology that opens up new design opportunities for personalized electronic devices. This means the color and appearance of a device's surface. For example, an MP3 player or mobile phone can easily be changed to match your outfit, mood, or environment simply at the touch of a button. These are hard case items. Okay, so think of like
yeah,
a ghetto blaster
nice.
That you can like change the color of. Yeah. The technology is potential to be used in the future for large area e-wallpapers where you can adjust the color of your wall or smart windows to regulate the daylight coming through your window. Awesome. Philips eSkin technology
mm-hmm.
is based on the previous work of electronic paper, e-paper. E-paper looks like conventional paper, and the bright wash of color in it generates the use of ambient light for rendition, just like conventional paper, so no backlight is needed, which means that vividness of the color is maintained, even the brightness of outdoor conditions. Recently, Philips successfully realized a simplified yet advanced vision of its e-paper technology called eSkin. Since it's less complicated and less expensive to realize, it enables new applications. It's become eSkin has made use of the ambient light and its inherent energy efficient system, making it particularly suitable for applications in portable devices as well. It's the first application using technology could be skins for small devices such as MP3 players or cell phones. However, the technology is highly scalable and says Cars Michael Lyson, principal scientist at Philips Research, in the future is possible to use e-skins to bring new color to areas and color to an area or vibe to a much larger equipment. So he's talking about, you know, for concerts or for whatever, you can change the color of gear or, you know, a boat. I mean,
that's very cool. I wonder if it's not powered, does it go to like a default color? It's like gray or white, or only when it's powered up, and or does it stay that color? Is it like it changes the cell of it or something?
I don't know.
It's interesting. It's very cool.
Don't know. But
there's not enough info.
There's
Spock.
There's not enough info. Spock, ship out of danger. Seriously, you know, it's pretty cool. I thought it was neat enough to be.
Yeah.
It's neat enough.
Oh, that is
so
cool.
You know, so.
Technology advances.
Well, you know, hey, server provides. All right. And brain chip news. Brain chip news. Always good. The Rena chip. I'm not making that up. That's the name of this. The Rena chip. Rena chip.
Rena chip.
Rena chip. Is your brain up to speed? Are you been lagging?
Have you got the latest?
Johnson, latest we need this report in Thursday. I told you about this last week. Gosh, boss, I'm sorry. Rena chip is there for you. You work hard. And your family depends on you. Thanks, Daddy. You know, if you don't get Renachip, you could lose your job. Anyway, the Renachip project is developing an electronic biometrics technology that could serve to replace damaged or missing brain tissue. This basically neuromorphic engineering that seeks to mimic how neurons function. In the future, this may be useful who have had injuries due to stroke or other illness. There are numerous obstacles that getting this tech off the ground. Having the microchip interface properly with the surrounding neural tissue is one issue that could be difficult to circumvent. It is also unclear if some of the models used actually represent specific regions of the mind accurately enough for this to work properly. The objective of this project is to develop a fully hybridized rehabilitation and substation methodology, replacing the aged cerebral brain circuit with a biometric chip bidirectionally interfacing with the inputs and outputs of the other system. Information processing will interfere with the cerebellum and actuate a normal, real-time functioning behavior recovery, providing proof-of-concept tests for the functioning rehabilitation of more complex neural systems. So they're hooking wires up to brains. That's what that project's all about. Very interesting stuff. So if you're like a med nerd and you want to get in on that game, that's like Gen 1 Matrix hookup right there, baby.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And some CyberEye news. Now, you remember that guy? I did a story probably 6 years ago now, but a guy out of Germany who made a set of contacts that made you see better than a cat can at night, like 10 times better than a cat can at night, and it fell off.
That's right, yeah.
It fell off the map. Okay. But listen to this segue here. The era of cybernetic super people appears to finally be taking off. From the popular PC game Deus Ex. Okay, wait a minute. Deus Ex? Like, when did that come out? Okay.
And then he goes, a little old, yeah.
Yeah, and then he goes to movies like RoboCop. And I'm like, wow, how 35 are you? Anyway, a constant theme. A constant theme in science fiction has been cyborgs. Humans implanted with advanced technology to offer superior abilities to traditional humans. Such interventions have exactly taken off. RFID implants are about as cyborgish as people have become of late. However, a new medical procedure should re-excite those who dream of synthetic super capabilities. Doctors and medical researchers at Spire Gatwick Park Hospital, a medical facility near Sussex in the UK, have completed the most advanced artificial lens implant to date and have endowed patients with vision better than most able humans traditionally have. The process to get high-definition vision begins with the implantation of artificial lenses used to be the standard procedure for cataracts. With the lenses implanted made of plastics, PMA, or acrylic, the high-tech lenses are used special light-sensitive silicone. Several days after the implant, doctors zap the lens with UV light, fine-tuning it over days so that it's inside your eye and they're reshaping it with lasers in your head.
Wow.
Over days, the lens is carefully tuned to overcome defects in the eye until a patient has perfect vision. A final blast of lights fixes the lens in the final configuration. Holy shit.
That's awesome.
Typical net result of the recipient's vision significantly surpasses 20/20 sight. It's the best vision typically found in adults. Oh, hell yeah. So fear not, Cimmerian, in your Cadillac
Jacking
quest
up your
for,
vision.
Yeah, you get, well, because, you know, if you're going blind, you get cataracts, you're like, fuck you. I was listening to the Sean Kennedy show on Newsreel, or Newsreel, Sean Kennedy on Newsreel, my show, and I told you you could get this surgery, so...
That's right. Demand it.
And I'm full of the med geek stories today. full of the med geek stories today. Eureka! Now, this is your daily hack. Now, this is something you can download. Okay, there's a story about it. And Paladin sent this in to me. It's pretty slick. Ever want to have a robot do your research for you? If you are a scientist, you most also certainly had this dream. Now it's a real option. Eureka, a program distills the scientific laws from raw data, is freely available to researchers. The program was unveiled in April when it was used readouts of a double pendulum to infer Newton's second law of motion and the law of conservation of momentum. It could also be an invaluable tool for relieving other more complicated laws that have eluded humans, and scientists have been clamoring to get their hands on it. We tend to think of science as finding equations like E equals MC squares, are that simple and eloquent. But maybe some theories are complicated. We can only find the simple ones, said Hod Lipschin of Cornell's University Computational Synthesis Lab. If we are unreachable right now, but algorithms we've developed could let us reach them. So this is like data interpretation and breakdown to look for laws and trends. I'm like, wow, stock market
Stock market. Feed in 100 years of stock market.
Yeah, stock market much, like Vegas much. I mean, because...
Anything.
I really don't feel bad about ripping off
dog races.
Yeah, horse races. Much. Horse race performance much. Data related to horse race. Horse racing much. Like, holy crap. You know, just... Sports teams, sports betting.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Anything.
We can rip that off. Somebody can think of it. Rand Media needs your help. Okay. and the winter issue, your Rec Media for this week, is the winter issue, most appropriately, as I've lost feeling in my feet, of the H Plus magazine. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to the show, please distribute. But if you can donate, by the way, please do so. It really does help. Clicking on the donate tab anywhere on the Rand Media site would be great. Thank you very much.
You need to buy some more bread and milk and soy milk and stuff. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, honest.
Send some cash in.
Honest to God.
Sean needs coffee. Well, Sean needs some coffee. He's cold. It's cold outside, and he needs some coffee.
Bribe me with coffee, please. Yes.
And I'll have some soy hot chocolate, please.
If everyone in the sand is soy hot chocolate. I'm out here begging, and you're asking for soy hot chocolate. You
know, that's right.
Rand
I'm
Media
the
Studios,
terrorist.
Which is the cardboard box located at 9508 Box. Our cardboard box is called Box 95089, and that's at 370 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada. B5T1WO. It's got a piss stain on one side, and it says television on the other.
From Wi-Fi that we borrow.
Yeah, that's right. We steal everything. I wanted to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance gathering data. If you have information you'd like to reach me, you can reek me, according to the format, at newsreel at randradio.com. Be sure to sign up for the Rand Radio newsletter by sending an email to info@randradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, check out some Psytrance. Now, I'm going to fade out today with a track for you, Simi. It's called Burn Your Crosses by Sabaton. Because they did a bunch of religious devoted album kind of stuff. They did a bunch, so to show that they weren't religious, they did a song called Burn Your Crosses. Burn your crosses, make way for science. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. It's like we have to do like a
Christ has only caused death and violence.
That's awesome. The one. Yeah, Christ has only. Oh, you've
I'm looking at the lyrics.
Christ has only caused death and violence. Yeah.
Oh, this is great. Yeah. No use to pray. No one's listening. I will die anyway. Leaving this place, the end is near now.
Yeah.
Dying ain't no disgrace.
Oh, and it's pretty good. Great. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Great. Like find the video. It's money. It really is. Sabaton is awesome. They're like my new favorite
atheist metal band.
Well, they're not atheists. See, that's just it. They did the song to show that they're just a metal band. Okay, because they do like other ones that are very pro. You know what I mean? But they did one that was not, so to show that they're balanced. You know what I mean?
This is pretty anti-God, these lyrics here.
Yeah, but if you look at the lyrics in their other songs, they're pretty pro-God. That's why they did this album. Okay.
Just to balance it out, eh?
Yeah, so that because they did one for the Muslim. There was like a Muslim one, and they sing about the Nazis sometimes.
Really?
They did a song called Panzer Battalion that if you listen to the song, it doesn't sound like they're really not so into the Panzer Battalion, you know what I mean? Because they're the bad guys, right? So yeah, if you're doing songs about that kind of stuff, you have to make sure that you cover your bases.
Really,
we're just
you're singing.
We're
it's a character.
Band.
It's yeah, a work it's, of fiction.
This is a
right?
work of fiction. This is not a real thing. So, but that this, but what you're saying is while this is most definitely an atheist metal song, this is not an atheist
yeah.
metal band. Yeah. So, I mean, how can I not find an atheist metal Swedish, you know, heavy metal band?
Well, that's true.
Doing and not bring it on the show for you. I mean, and come on. I beat the shit out of you half the time with all my, you know, meat-eating stuff. So, you know, as long as we're going to be, like, you know, totally going all, you know, bootstrapping with the atheist thing, let's get a good theme going for Tejo. Burn Your Crosses by Sabaton, and we'll get, like, that texture. Get those on armbands. That'll be good. That'll be good. Armbands.
Taser armbands.
And you need
yeah.
some, like, secret police who make sure animals aren't being hurt, and they can, like, come into your house and search your shit to make sure you don't
That's
have any
right.
like, knives. That'd be good.
We found the meat! Okay, arrest them, round them up.
Well, just that's the bodies,
make,
right?
Make them watch hours of video of chickens being tortured.
Well, that's it, you know, and honestly, you know, if I was found with some, with, like, people's body parts in my freezer, I'd be prosecuted. So what's the difference between people body
that's
parts
right.
in my freezer and animal body parts in my freezer? You've
to me,
got
nothing.
you've got children's legs in your freezer. Well, I'm eating those. Oh, okay.
They're tasty.
Well,
what's wrong with it? It's
like,
tasty. I need to eat this.
We haven't eaten yet, and if you're making them up, I mean, you know, not to impose, but SWAT team's kind of hungry. So yeah, that's where we're going with that. So regardless. As we segue out with cannibalism on the SWAT team, remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.